Welcome to Unlapped. Katie George, Nate Saunders, Lawrence Edmondson. As always, gentlemen, hello. We have some breaking news in the world of Formula One. F1 has denied Andretti's bid into the sport in 2025 and 2026. So there's that. But today is a very special episode of Unlapped because former team principal of Haas F1, Gunther Steiner, is joining us. I love when timing works out. Hello and welcome to Gunther Steiner. Well, Gunther, I don't know if you'd consider this good timing or bad, but we're going to start with the news of the day, which is F1 just announced it's rejecting Andretti's bid into the sport for 2025 and 2026. Now, a possible entry into 2028 is still on the table. Just what's your immediate reaction to the news?
This is complete news to me. So thanks for bringing me some news, Katie. You know, my reaction is I think I haven't seen the bid what they did to get into 25. So, you know, it's always difficult to comment on something when you don't know the details. I always be, I wouldn't say careful about it, but it's like you're not working with the same information other people have got. Obviously, F1 has looked into it and they think it's better that they reopen it, as you just said, as far as I understand it, that they have to reapply or something like this for 28. I think it's they must have their reasons why to do that. And I would say to come in 25, you don't give yourself a lot of time, to be honest. You know, it's only, the car needs to be ready at this time next year. And, you know, obviously they have done some groundwork as far as I read. I've not spoken with anybody, but it's still very difficult. And then if you think about 26, again, a complete new regulation and a complete new car again, I think they just looked at it and said it's maybe a little bit too ambitious. And again, I have to say, I don't know what they proposed, how they're going to do it. So I'm out of that loop and I don't need to be in it.
But Gunther, you do have experience of bringing a new team into Formula One. Of course, you're the last person to do it with Haas and relatively successfully compared to the other teams. Just how big a proposition is it when you're starting with basically nothing to come and build something up and put something together that is not only going to be on the grid, but also competitive? Because that's a big thing that F1 said. They want Andretti to be competitive if they make this step in.
Yeah, you're saying the right thing. It is. When we came, it was a complete different Formula One than it is now to start off with. When we came in 2016, I think there was the time where there was backmarker teams. So, you know, it was expected there is people which are not so fast. So I think we had a lot of less pressure than any other team coming in, which would come in now, because the expectation is all the teams are competitive now, all the teams are stable now. So there is no need for teams. When we came in, there was a need for teams. So it was a completely different scenario, but it is very difficult as a job to do it, you know, and it hasn't become any easier, especially now a budget cap is in place. So if somebody even wants to come in competitive, says, oh, I just outspent everybody the first year or two, you cannot do that. You cannot do more than the other ones. The only thing what you have not got is the experience the other people have got, you know, and the history in the sport. So it is very, very difficult. I'm not saying it's not doable, but I think if you want to come in now, you need to take your time and really get yourself prepared that when you get into Formula One, that you are competitive as it is required by Formula One now, because as I said before, there is no weak team in the moment. So I think it is very competitive. And obviously, you cannot fail. The FOM would not allow anybody to fail. So you need to make 100% sure that if you come in there, that you can prove that you will not fail.
Yeah, and I think you've touched on it there a little bit, but I think a lot of fans have this memory of, you know, the past when there were 11 teams, 12 teams, you know, really, really full grid. Do you think that there is an ideal number of teams, or does it just all come down to that? You know, if you have 10 competitive teams, it's better than having 12 teams that, you know, you've got one or two that, I mean, that used to be the case before Haas came in. Do you think there is such a thing as, an ideal amount of teams in Formula One, or is that something that's kind of rooted in the past a little bit more?
I think you're right in saying there is not an ideal number. If you've got 11 or 12 very competitive teams, I think that's not bad. But also the commercial side of it needs to be backed up, you know, just to have more teams. And then, because if you have more teams, you need to share the money by more people, which makes less for everybody. And then all of a sudden, even if you think you've got 12 competitive teams, some will end up with not enough money and they will fall back. And then you have to keep on keeping these people around because they've got a license, because you cannot say you're not allowed. Because the thing in Formula One, there is no relegation. It's not like football. If in football, you don't put the effort in and the financial means behind it, you're relegated, and that's your destiny, you know. But in Formula One, once you're in, you have the right to stay in there. I wouldn't say forever, but for a long time, you know, because nothing is forever. But and that is the difficult bit.
It almost feels like Formula One's protecting Andretti from itself, and the fact that 2025 was way too early to even wrap your head around a team being ready to enter, given the regulation change that you brought mentioned. I'm just curious, when you look at Andretti, what you know about him, General Motors, who expects to have an engine ready by 2028, that brand, do you expect to see success from that partnership?
I mean, if they take enough time, for sure it can be successful. And as you just said, if one tries to protect them from themselves, that could be because, but again, I don't have the information of what they submitted to them. You know, maybe they looked at that information, and rightly you said, we want them, but we want to make sure that they are successful when they come, you know, protect them for themselves, you know, help them out, you know, in this thing. So I think F1 is protecting all the teams, everybody involved in the sport. And they didn't close the door completely. They said 28, it's a call it a new day. It's a new year. It's a long, it's quite a few years away. You know, it's not tomorrow, but there is still, the door is open. Show us that you can get prepared and be competitive by then. And I think we welcome you.
Gunther, as it pertains to the here and now, I'd love to ask you about your career with Haas. Were you surprised that you would not be continuing managing Haas this season?
A little bit yes, a little bit no. You know, it's in between. In the end, I saw what was happening last year, that all the other teams are ramping up, you know, their investments and things like this, and we couldn't follow. So obviously, I tried to go the same way, but it wasn't possible. So you know, you have to say what you think, and then on one way yes, in one way no.
Yeah, just on that. I mean, towards the end of last season, it sounds like maybe you started to have that feeling. In Abu Dhabi last year, did you kind of go into the paddock there and think this could be the last race? Or did it really kind of, did the situation just kind of evolve in the weeks after that into the decision itself?
In Formula One, it can be always your last race.
Yeah, very true.
You never know when the last race comes, you know.
So, is that the mindset you've always had? Just say, this could be it, so just enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, no, but you don't go in with that mindset. I mean, in the end, you need to go in and to do the best job, you need to be positive. You cannot be afraid of something like this. And I'm still not afraid. And if it happens, it happens. And you just move on. You know, I've got always a positive outlook on most of the stuff I'm doing. So there's always a chance. But it was like, at some stage, it also comes, do you want to be there if you cannot compete? You know, that is, you have to ask yourself. You cannot ask anybody else. And that came up in my mind last year at some stage. And then when it happened, I was like, okay, it's fine, you know, move on. There's a lot of good things to do in life, you know.
I think if you look at the other teams and the investment that's going on at a number of them, I think most people would agree with you, Haas does need something. So what was Gene's argument there to say that we can continue as we are and we can be more competitive than the team was in the last couple of years?
I think, first of all, I don't want to speak for Haas now because I'm not there anymore. So, you know, I need to be correct there. But I don't know exactly how he thinks to do it. You know, that's a question for him to be asked. And I think it's a legit question because I didn't understand it as well. So I think there was, to me, there was no answer. Because if you see now what also, what is it called now? Visa, Cash App, RB. I mean, I'm struggling with the names anyway.
This we is all are. We all are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thanks.
We're still not sure what we're going to call it. Yeah, articles exactly. And stuff. We have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the investment they are making and also in the people by taking Tim Goss on and things like this, you know, obviously they saw where they need to go to be competitive.
Passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you reflect on the 10 years you were at Haas, what are some of the fondest memories that come to mind?
I mean, the fondest memory is like being able to start a new Formula One team is something fantastic. You know, I mean, if you think back now, it's like, hey, not many people have done that in the good old days, and now in the new days, not much. But the fondest memory is when we hit the racetrack the first year in 2016. It's so cool. So. You go out there, everybody, not everybody, a lot of people, and not maliciously think you will fail, because we did that in a very different way than anybody else. And you go out there, you come to the test, you go out for the test, you do your test normally, and then you go racing in Melbourne and you score points. I mean, you know, it's for sure a very good memory, that one.
And Gunther, when you look back at the history of Haas, I mean, it's kind of littered with, you know, great moments, but also, you guys have been attached to so many kind of incredibly dramatic moments or incredible storylines. There's been Rich Energy, you had the Mazepins, you know, obviously you had Roman's crash in Bahrain that was, you know, just unbelievable that happened and then they got out of it. And it always seemed that Haas was right in the middle of a lot of these situations, which in your position, you must have just thought to yourself, can we just have a normal year where we don't have something crazy happening at all times? Because it's always felt like Haas has had, every year there's been something where you can point back to and say that was the big storyline of Haas's season. Did it feel like that when you were working there, or did it kind of just come with the territory?
You give me a flashback. Now I'm running away from this interview yeah. Now, you know, because I don't want to think about it, you know. So,
which was the worst flashback out of those?
But there's so many. Yes, you brought them up, all of them. So, you know, I get this flashback. It's like, wow, he's actually right. I always say, and we didn't try hard to create this drama. Can you imagine if we would have tried, you know? This just happened to us, you know, so without putting any effort into it. So, no, it is true. And I don't know why it happened. I mean, but you know, I think we always dealt as good as we could with it. And all the people, and I'm not pointing at me. I mean, everybody was always there to help whatever happened. We always found a way out of it. And I think a lot of our energy was consumed with these dramas, and that for sometimes we didn't make the progress we should have made, but it was all covered with these things which were unexpected. And to be honest, I don't think we did a lot of things wrong to end up there. There was just sometimes we were just ended up in bad circumstances, but we always tried to find a way out of it. So in the end, you take it down as experience. And by the way, it now thinking back, I mean, I can joke about it, the flashbacks, it is not as bad, because we always came out, I wouldn't say on top of it, but at least even, you know, which happens, you know. And I think part of it is always because we were always an underdog. We were the smallest teams. We had less resources. And therefore it hits you. We were taking on really big boys here, you know. So obviously we could have a little bit luckier, but in the end, you know, there is no regrets of any of these things. Yeah, would you do things different now? But with hindsight, I mean, who wouldn't do things different? I mean, only a stupid man wouldn't do things different with hindsight, you know? So I would do things different because I know now what would happen. So, but in the end, it was also good fun, you know? Sometimes you think back, like when, you see, I can laugh about it. When you bring all these stories, I was like, yeah, he's actually right. But I still can smile about it, you know? So it's actually okay, but I think it's part of that story, of that Haas story, the first years of Haas.
How much of a gap is that going to leave in your life? Because as you say, it's fun. You've got all these achievements behind you. How big a gap has it left already in this first month of not getting ready for testing? Is it a relief? What's going through your mind?
I would say it's not relief. I mean, I'm pretty happy now after 10 years of this space, going this space, because, I mean, we raced 8 years, but it took 2 years to build up the team, to have a little bit an easier, not like this stress all the time is pretty good, you know, for me and for my family, to be honest, you know. And I'm doing other stuff. I'm keeping myself busy. I'm not getting bored, you know, by no means. You know, I'm not sitting here, and I'm not this guy which, oh, I want desperately go testing. No, if I go testing or racing, I want to do it for the right reason, not just to be around. You know, I want to be challenged to do something which I like to do. And in the moment, I've got quite a few things which I like to exploit to see what I can do. I mean, I've got my own company, which by no means I'm starting to run now. I've got a very good business partner, which is doing a good job. So I don't need to go there and mess that one up. That's what I continue to tell them. Don't worry. I let you get on with it because I just come along to mess it up. So no, but I'm keeping pretty busy, but it's good to have not the pressure always, because it is also repetitive, you know, Lawrence, when you start to do it 8 years, the pressure of going testing, yeah, it's nice, but you have done it 8 times. Sometimes, you know, a human being, in my opinion, you need a new challenge to do something different. And the challenge doesn't need to be the same as it was the last 8 years. It can be something completely different, things you didn't have time to do, or you didn't even have time to look into it and to understand that what is out there, you know, for you. So I take it a little bit like this, but I'm not like dwelling on, oh, I want to be testing. No, I mean, I will show up at some races, hopefully doing some work. I'm in touch with a lot of people I got friendly with over my career, you know, which I talk with what is happening and things like this. But just to go back to testing, like I went the last 8 years, you know, it's like, well, when are you going to get for another job? I don't know if I want another job the same as I had before, you know, because I've done it. So I need to move on. Just a lateral move, maybe it's not satisfying for me.
When you think of the man that started Haas 10 years ago and where you're at now, where do you feel like you've grown the most as an individual?
My white hair grown the most, you know, that is...
As an you said individual, it, not me.
You thought that, you know, so... No, as an individual, you just get more mature. You know, as I said before 10 years ago, I couldn't wait to go testing even 6 years ago. Now it's like more I've done it, you know. What is next, what I can do to make things somehow better with the experience I gained, you know? Where can I contribute something to make something better, you know? And it could be Formula One, could be in any other industry. But you grow as a human being, because we have been through a lot, as we said before, and that always makes you mature. And you can never develop like actually making these experiences. Then when you really learn them and do them, then all of a sudden you have done it, you know how to react, because it happened to you before. And that, I think, is the most important thing. All these ups and downs, also mentally over the last 8 years, you know? I mean, they are not easy, but now, once you have done it, it's a lot easier to take it, you know, because you have been there and you, I call it now, survived. Obviously, I don't mean you survived the pressure, nothing else. So mm-hmm. I think that is where I matured most.
You joked about the white hair, Gunther. I mean, what was left of mine has gone from working in Formula One, and I've not even been doing your job. Just on that, you know, on looking for something else, it's quite interesting as well. You know, thinking if, you know, let's say a team did come to you about a similar role, the position you had at Haas and the relationship you had with Gene is probably something that you wouldn't get, you know, at any other team if you think about the way it is. Is that something that weighs on your mind as well, that, you know, the situation you had there, the, you know, the control that you were able to have over the team? You go into, you know, if you go into a bigger team, for example, you've probably got a lot more people to answer to. There's a lot more at play above your head. That would probably be a situation that you might find a little bit, given the 10 years at Haas. I could see how that would be a lot more frustrating to have to deal with if you were put into that situation.
I think you're right. I wouldn't call it frustrating, because I would know, as you just explained, what it will, what it would involve, you know, so you cannot be frustrated if you're told it. This is what it is. It would be much more difficult. That's why I said a lateral move, it would be very difficult for me. But, you know, you never know what other teams are doing. And if we always look at Formula One, how it evolves over the years, you know, the Formula One we have got now, 10 years ago, nobody would have thought that it would go this way. So maybe something else comes up in Formula One in the next 5 years, you know, and the expertise and the stuff I've done is needed. That's why I said I'm in no hurry just to make a lateral move like it is now, because I think what you just explained is what it would be if I would go into any other team right now. But maybe in 2-3 years, something changes, like Formula One has changed the last 5 years from what it was. And you remember it. It was a different sport, you know. It was a different way of going racing than it is now.
And Gunther, one real downside to you leaving is that we're going to lose your addition to Netflix. We're going to lose you as somebody to go and talk to on a Thursday and get information about what's going on and opinions about what's going on in Formula One. Does that appeal to you to be a kind of maybe part of the, I don't want to know about the media, but, you know, certainly someone who's still relevant within the sport and can produce ideas for the sport? Because, you know, we've seen at Formula One, for example, Ross Brawn moved into that role and really shook things up. Do you see yourself in a position like that as well going forward?
I wouldn't say directly. Like, I mean, I respect Ross a lot. And when he came along for Formula One, it was a very good move from Chase Carey at the time to get Ross on board, you know, because he understands it. I wouldn't say you cannot replicate things. I mean, for the, short future, short term and medium term, I will stay around because I will come to a few races, you know, and be around. But I don't know if I will have an official role or if it would be just Gunther, which would be even better for you guys if it is just Gunther, because then I have not to report to anybody and I can say whatever I want, which is sometimes pretty dangerous as well, you know. So, I think you will have me around. And as you see, I'm pretty happy to do an interview with you guys now. It's very, I wouldn't say normal that somebody who left the company a month ago is now having something like this with you guys, which I really enjoy, because I enjoy to work with everybody in Formula One, and I'm happy to tell the story, you know.
Does that apply as well to kind of sort of punditry kind of opportunities? Because I think some people in Formula One, they think as soon as you've moved into the media side of things, it can be quite difficult to move back into the sport, because you've put a lot of opinions out there. You maybe have been a bit more outspoken about certain things. Is that something that appeals to you? Because I'm sure that the majority of people, if not everyone listening to this podcast, would absolutely love the idea of you getting a Sky Sports microphone every week and kind of just being able to talk about your opinions on the race or, you know, whatever the latest controversy is. Is that something that is as appealing to you as it is to everyone else?
I'm not saying in the moment, I'm not saying yes or no to anything, you know, but I go back to your first question, said if you go into that, you cannot go back. I always think you can go back, because I wouldn't change, you know. When I was in the team, I wasn't any different than I would be being on TV. And that, for I say, I for me, it's no difference, you know. I don't put a show on just for TV, or I just put a show on for a team, you know. That is what is me. I've got my opinion. I mean, as I always say, some people don't like my opinions, and which I'm perfectly happy with, you know. I'm not getting upset. I mean, it's like, but that's it, you know. So I don't think that would disturb me. That would, I wouldn't do that, because then I would already think the next step, then I couldn't go back. I think there is, you know, as I said, I say yes or no to anything in the moment. I look at it, what is out there, and then something nice will come up, and you guys will get some opinions from me, hopefully, during the year. I'm sure I see you around in a few races. I don't think I'm going to go to all, because that's a lot of work going to 24 races. I just warn you, you know.
So, yeah. You're getting your weekends back after all this time. You're not going to know what to do with all that extra, all those extra Saturdays and Sundays off.
I think I find something, Nate, you know. Don't worry, you know, at least for a while.
Yeah.
You said you've been keeping busy and that you have a couple of hobbies. What have you been up to?
I don't have a lot of hobbies. No, I've been up to, as I said, a lot of people contacted me about different things. You know, and when you're away for 10 years and I've got, as I said, my own business, I've got a few things going just to clean up stuff, which you didn't have time to do in your life, you know, and taking it on at your own time, not just always, okay, this is the schedule. I need to get done by this and this time to go this, there, and then. And then, for example, last weekend, I went to Daytona to the 24-hour race because I like it. I just went there for a day, just for fun. No job involved or nothing, just for fun. This is things I like to do. I can spend time with my family, which obviously are happy in the moment that I'm home. I don't know how long that lasts, as we all know, you know, so, but they are pretty happy to have me around. So, no, I keep busy, but that I'm not overdoing it. And I said, I'm not getting stressed out. I need to do this, that, and the other. I just do what is coming in. I deal with it and then see what I ended up to doing.
Any trips planned or meetings planned with Mattia Binotto? I know he's a good friend of yours.
Yeah, I actually need to call him tomorrow. I spoke with him last week. So I'm sure I will see him in summertime when, because where he's got his wine is about 50 k's from my place, so we always meet up there. Yeah, it's very close. Yeah. So he has to travel anyway, and for me, it's very close. So in summer, I'm gonna spend summer again in northern Italy. So for sure, we meet up then, if not before at the race. I don't know which races he's going to this year.
Well, the two of you can make quite a good dent into that now.
We can taste a lot of wine, and now it's even good to. I think that the first vintage is ready to drink, So at least we can have some proper wine this year, And we will not be filming it because you don't want to see that.
You have such a unique perspective working with veteran drivers. You've also worked with very young and kind of novice drivers as well. When you look at drivers like Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris, who just got, massive contracts in the sport, what do you think of these relatively young drivers getting these kind of long-term contracts?
I think we are now in Formula One, teams just, if they have somebody good, they just want to make it stable, I mean, these guys have proven that they are good, and mm-hmm. they can stay good. I think stabilize something, what you have, and then work on the team instead of, obviously, the problem becomes when the team is not delivering a good car, then these drivers get frustrated. You know how that works, then the opposite way. So a lot of them will have performance clauses in, but I think it's a good thing if there's a possibility to do this, because by now we all know that Lando and Charles, they are good. If they get in the right equipment, they can win a world championship. And that is that next generation from what we have now, the world champions like Fernando and Lewis and stuff like this. So I think it's quite a good idea from the teams to assure that they've got stability in the team with these guys.
What about the drivers? If you were advising some of those drivers, because sometimes the key is to remain flexible and move at the right time, just as the team's coming up. But Lando, especially tying himself down to McLaren, we can understand, I guess, why Max has done it at Red Bull, but Charlotte Ferrari as well. Do you think those are good long-term options for the drivers too?
I think not all of them can be right, huh? So somebody will find out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got three world champions a year, because that's what they all three want to do. Just the three you just said now. So I think it's one of these things, as I said to Katie, I'm sure they've got performance clauses in there for the team now. I think it has turned a little bit in that way, that they've got the way to get out if the team is not performing a certain way. But also for the drivers, at least they have got time to get the team in the direction they want it to be. And for sure, somebody will be disappointed. And then it creates drama, and that's good for you guys.
That's right.
Everybody in F1 just looks after you guys, something.
That's a real main character syndrome, that it all just exists for us. I like that. It makes us feel really important. Just on those contracts as well. On those contracts as well, I mean, I think it was just after he won the championship in 21 that Max got that really, really long deal. And if you look at the history of deals before that, there'd been a few long-ish deals, but that was the first one we saw that was that long. Did that feel like a turning point in the driver market? Because it seems like since then, like you say, it has kind of almost forced teams and drivers to want to kind of lock down for longer. When that happened, was there any part of you that thought, oh, wow, that's maybe going to have reverberations down? Or has it actually been building for a lot longer than that, like behind the scenes?
No. I think you're right. When it happened with Max, everybody saw, okay, Max will not be on the market, call it like this, for 5 years. So we need to do something, so we are not ending up fighting for, for one of the other ones. And then it started. People looked in. This is what I want. I trust this driver. This is what I want. I give them a long-term contract as well. And you're right. Max was the first one. Red Bull. So the guy is just so good. Let's sign him up. Let's make that decision, so we are not having to find the next Max. We are keeping the Max.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Gunther, what's it really like behind the scenes during a silly season? How much are you talking to all the available drivers on the grid? How many of those small conversations happen that we never pick up on? And how much of it is us lot, the media, just making mountains out of molehills?
I mean,
I noticed you've leaned forward now.
There is never smoke without fire, guys. You know that. So normally, you guys, when you pick something up, there was something going on that out of the blue. I think we know all the outlets which are not trustworthy anyway, which they just make stuff up. And people say, yeah, I mean, they said it, but it's not really going to happen. You know, the talk, it's always going on. And, you know, I now speak running Haas, your opportunities. I mean, you say hello to the drivers, to the good ones, but you know they would never come to you. So you just try to keep an eye on what is happening in the market, which is interesting for you, and try to get an opportunity which otherwise you couldn't get, like last year with Nico. I mean, in a normal year, it was very difficult to get a Nico Hülkenberg. We tried twice and he refused, but being where he was without a job at the time, there was an opportunity, and you need to think about these ones. And there's a lot of talking with these people. First of all, you have to see, like with Nico, if he's even interested to do something, you know, coming back. And then you talk and you see if you can make it work. And then obviously you see who else is around and you speak, say, hey, if it's a driver with a contract, is there a possibility that you could get out and that if you want to get out of it? And that is what you're doing. There is quite a lot of talk going on without real the focus, this is going to happen, you know, but you always need to keep the conversation going, that if you see some opportunity, that you are there when it happens.
I think most fans would say that they hate dynasties, that they root for parity, but dynasties, I think, can actually be a really good thing for a sport. I mean, you look at the NFL and NBA, we've had plenty of them, because it gives most fans across the country, across the world, a villain to root against, right? And I think that Red Bull has certainly become that in Formula One as of late. Do you foresee us getting another season where Max and Red Bull continues to dominate, or do you foresee other teams continuing to close that gap?
I see it. Other teams will close the gap with the regulations now stable. I think there's a good opportunity for the other teams to close the gap. And obviously, a lot of everybody learned last year which direction to go with the car. So I think that it will close. They have been very good. So they will be still very strong, in my opinion. But I think there is more opportunities for somebody else to win a race than it was last year.
You mentioned about the driver market and talking to drivers and stuff like that. When you see Max, and you know, we all know how good he is on track, and he's always kind of been, he's not changed a massive amount away. He's always been kind of cool, collected. He, you know, he doesn't really like to talk too much about, you know, things that have happened. He just likes to get down and do it. What as a team boss of another team, when you've seen that, what things have stood out about him that you think, wow, that's so impressive, knowing what it is like to work with drivers behind the scenes? What sort of things stand out when you see him? Obviously, the performance on track is something that's very clear to see, but is there something that when you see of Max, you think, wow, that is what really makes him special, you know, more special maybe than a lot of the other drivers that are on the grid right now?
Absolutely. First of all, his talent, and he knows about it, but he doesn't overstress that he, in the moment, is the best driver. He's just doing his job, gets along with it, has got an opinion about things, doesn't dwell on them. You know, he says what he thinks and then moves on, you know, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, and, you know, I think he's surrounded by a good group of people, his father included, you know, which keep him grounded as well. His manager, I think he's just doing it. He is living for this world championship. You know, he likes racing cars. He does other stuff as well in racing cars, but he doesn't try to do anything different than that. You know, he's just a young guy which is enjoying what he's doing and sticking to it, you know. And I think he said it a few times. I don't know how long he will be racing. I think the day he doesn't like it anymore, he will stop. He will not drag it on just to make money. You know, he will just stop and do something different, what he likes to do.
And how important is it to get that chemistry between the teammates right, especially when you're fighting for championships? Because we've seen extremes, obviously Max dominating Checo recently, but then not so long ago, Lewis and Nico going for championships. That relationship between drivers, how much do you factor that in when you've been making decisions, albeit maybe not fighting for the championships during those years?
Yeah, we didn't... You factor it in, but you need to sort that one out when they are in the team, in my opinion. You cannot always plan for everything before. I think you try to get as a team the best two drivers you can get. You never get a not good driver just to please the other one, because that is not good for the other one. And you just deal with if there is rivalry up the track, you have to deal with how it comes along. You know, that for when team principals are critiqued or why you didn't tell them what to do, because they both want to do their best. And obviously they fight for it because they both want to be number one. And but that is what you want, because then they push each other as well. So sometimes it goes overboard, as we all know, you know, with some teammates. But in the end, as long as you get the grip of it after it happened, it's okay, you know, because that makes them push each other. If you make it too easy for the number one driver, you're not sure that you get 100% out of him. Maybe he could do better if he's pushed by his teammates, which is very good as well. So I personally never looked into it, or they need to get on, they need to be mates. No, I always looked at, I need to get the two best drivers I can get. And with the rest, we deal afterwards.
With that in mind, hypothetical situation, we're going into 24 season, Steiner F1 is on the grid, you're looking as competitive as Red Bull, you've got any driver you want to pick from, which two drivers do you pick from the current crop?
I would for sure pick Max, and the second one would be, you say I could pick whatever I want.
Whoever, everyone's out of contract. I mean, this is very hypothetical now, but everyone's
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't say no to Alonso. Max and Alonso, you know, because Alonso is still, I mean, he has got the experience, he's doing a good job with the team, he's still one of the best racers out there, and, you know, I think he could still win a championship if he's in the right equipment.
And you could see those personalities pairing well together?
No.
I think gray hair.
But like you said, right, a good problem to have.
Netflix's dream
exactly. It's a good problem to have if they push each other, you know?
And imagine the next Netflix episode, Günther Steiner in his office with his two drivers, Fernando Alonso and Max Verstappen.
Yeah, that would be a difficult one, because they are pretty hard-headed as well, you know. So between the three of us, that would be a good fun for you guys, not for the three in there.
You mentioned obviously there Max and Fernando. We've obviously got Lewis has won, you know, 7 world championships, but we've got a bunch of young drivers as well: Leclerc, Lando, Oscar Piastri last year just had an amazing rookie season. You've been in Formula One for a long time, you know, even stretching back before Haas. And I think it does feel like this is potentially the most talented grid we've had in Formula One. Do you think, is that a fair assessment, do you think, just looking at the drivers we have from kind of top to bottom?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very competitive. There is nobody in there which doesn't belong in there in the moment. I mean, they're all very good and they're all very young. Now, see who comes out on top of it, you know, because they say they're old, and some of them will be around for a long time because they're very young. I mean, this was a group of guys, as you just said. I mean, Piastri is young, but Leclerc, Norris, Albon, Russell, they all came up together in Formula 2, Formula 3, or very close to each other, and they were very talented, you know. And I think behind them, there is a little bit of a hole. There was not the same amount of good talent anymore, like that group of people, but they will be around a long time, because they are still very young, all of them.
Is there anyone on the current grid who you think is massively underrated, by whether it's by fans or by kind of the media perception? Is there anyone who stands out as like, that guy really needs a better reputation or a better chance to kind of move up to a bigger team or anything like that?
If you would have asked me last year, I would have told you Albon, because I think he's very talented. He didn't, but he showed it last year in 23 what he can do. You know, he's very good. I mean, before 23, I think Alex was underrated.
Yeah.
Any team boss that you think is underrated and deserves maybe more credit?
No, they're all fantastic, Katie.
Are you gonna, just on that, are you gonna miss those meetings? I mean, the one in Netflix that stands out is the one where Christian and Toto, you know, you got a problem, change your fucking car. Like, are you going to miss some of that drama being away from Formula One now? Because I think that is what has made Netflix so entertaining, is that it has lifted the lid on that. And in that scene, I have to say, you look like you're having the time of your life, just sort of sat there watching it all unfold. I mean, those moments, are you going to kind of regret not being in some of those meetings, or are you actually happy to leave the kind of the stress and the heartache of that behind?
No, but some of them are very... they are very, I would say, intense and entertaining is maybe the wrong word, but some of them are pretty boring as well. So some you will miss, some you will be happy not to be there. It's always a mix of things, you know. But I mean, my relationship with all the other team principally was pretty good, you know. I mean, we always could have a laugh about things as well. That's what I always say. You need to be serious when you do business, but you don't take yourself too serious, because that is, I think that's not cool, you know, because it's, we are still in a sport, entertainment business, you know, we are not saving lives, to be honest, you know, so we need to have, it needs to have a fun element as well in it.
Well, that's why you're such a fan favorite, because you're down to earth and so relatable. I speak for the boys here. Thank you so much for joining us. We have so much respect for you, Gunther, and the impact you've had on Formula One. Don't be a stranger, and we can't wait to see what you tackle next.
All right. Thank you very much for having me, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yep. We'll be back next week for another episode of Unlap. Be sure to check that out. Thanks for watching, guys. Cheers.